One of the things that we always say with our families is that homelessness is something that happens to you. It's a situation, but it's not who you are. It doesn't define who you are. Just like when you lose a job, unemployment doesn't define who you are.
Right.
You're no less of a person than you were the day before when you were employed.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we find with our different systems in place in society is that when people become homeless, many systems tend to alienate them just by the definition of the structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult, almost impossible, to open a bank account if you don't have an address.
Mm-hmm.
How do you function and get money out and manage your life without an address?
Sure.
How do you shower for interviews? How do you go online and look for jobs, which is the way most jobs are found now?
Mm-hmm.
How do you go online and look for a new place to live if you don't have a computer? You can't afford the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we take for granted in our lives, all of those things are instantly pulled from you.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it almost impossible to function.
Mm-hmm.
Try to go a day without your cell phone and your computer
right.
and get around town, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have systems in place that help that. So as you fall deeper into the cycle, you become very alienated and isolated. And so one of the things that Guiding Light does, that many of our other programs here in town do and Family Promise does, is we try to bring people in and reconnect them and make them realize they're not
sure.
alone. Our families, the men at Stewart's Place, go through this together.
Mm-hmm.
They engage with mentors. They engage with our amazing network of congregations. And they realize they can sit there in the room and look at five other families who are homeless just like they are and realize, hey, this might not just be me.
Mm-hmm.
This might be something that happened to me. And I have all of the resources, and there are great resources in town to overcome this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we find helps start taking those steps forward, is that reconnection and plugging
sure.
back in the community.
Sure.
You know, Cheryl kind of touched on this, but it's, you know, very simple things. Do you have your Social Security card when you got out of prison?
No.
No. See, that's so common,
mm-hmm.
and you can't get a job
mm-hmm.
right.
without a Social Security
mm-hmm.
card. So you don't have a cell
yeah.
phone. You show up. You're scared to death.
Yeah, right.
right? I'm not trying to put words in anyone's mouth, but you're scared to death.
Yeah, you are.
And as Cheryl says, the systems aren't friendly. And
mm-hmm.
you know you can't go to work. Mm-hmm. Now, where is the Social Security office in Grand Rapids?
By what DVA? On College, I know.
So, but you know that. So,
right.
Most people don't.
But,
no.
But David may not know that. And where is that in relationship to Family Promise?
Mm-hmm.
How do I get there? And
right.
I have three kids.
And it costs
right.
money that I might not
money.
Be able to have or
yes.
get access
and it
to.
Just, it just goes on and it mm-hmm. goes on and it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Everything becomes really difficult. Even just checking into some of our agencies and some of our locations, you know, to travel with three children by bus to go to the central station and then to go back up to another location to have a five-minute conversation with
right.
somebody, it takes half the day to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're, you know, we're expecting them to be at work first and doing all these other things too. So a lot of
yes.
judgments, and until you walk in those shoes,
right.
you
mm-hmm.
really have no idea how difficult it is and what
sure.
one day looks like. And we say that every
mm-hmm.
day, all of our employees, when we go home, we say we don't know if we could accomplish what our families are accomplishing now, or if we could be as strong as they are
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day.
Right.
Because when I was there, I didn't have a driver's license.
Right.
And DHS wanted me to
mm-hmm.
do works first, still go to school,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
be all of this stuff. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, am I supposed to get my kids up at 5
right.
a.m. to
right.
catch a bus, to bring them one place
right.
and go to another
and
place?
And that's assuming the buses are running.
Exactly.
And it's assuming you have a job that gets out before the bus shuts down.
Exactly.
And it assumes it's not
yeah.
a holiday. And
mm-hmm.
it assumes a
exactly.
bunch of things.
Now, folks see a lot of stories on homelessness in the news. They see homeless folks downtown. So I think that they make a lot of assumptions. But what are some of the things that they don't know about these situations that they should know?
It can happen to anybody. It's not the bum on the corner begging for change who is all dirty
mm-hmm.
or whatever. It's any everyday person. Anybody can be one paycheck away from being homeless.
Kind of like Stuart was saying, with
yeah.
somebody who was a big executive
yeah.
for a fairly large corporation
mm-hmm.
making about six figures, big house,
yeah.
a few cars, and then next thing you know.
Yes.
We have people with college degrees that come through our program or are in college, like Amy was when they're coming in. We recently had a teacher who had lost her job in one of the local public school districts. And after about almost 2 years of being unemployed, and she was working odd jobs and retail and things like that, certainly not enough to pay a mortgage. Her husband left. And that was the family breakup that put the nail in the coffin for him. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you don't have a social network, you don't have family and friends, and we all have friends, but I'll tell you, when you pick up the phone and say, I'm homeless, can I stay in your house? It, you know, that relationship changes, and you don't
sure.
have as many people as you think
right.
that would allow you to live with them. So,
right.
you know, most of us are fortunate that we have a network to fall back on. Amy had her mom for a while that mm-hmm. she was able to live with. But, you know, if you don't have those things, you can go from employed, degreed, educated, to homeless, in a week, in 2 weeks. It happens very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Stuart, anything that you think that people don't know that they should know about homelessness here?
No, I think, you know, Cheryl and Amy probably pretty much covered it. That the you know, some of the last names of the individuals, you know, mm-hmm. Cheryl talks about school teachers, but they're last names, you know. They're mm-hmm. when I you know, I'm surprised mm-hmm. some of the people that have come through Guiding Light and mm-hmm. families I know mm-hmm. as an example.
Yeah.
And it you know, stuff happens. And,
yeah.
And fortunately, we've got agencies like Family Promise and Degage and Mel Trotter that are there for some form of safety network
mm-hmm.
for folks.
But there's some that choose not to utilize any form of a safety network, though.
Well, there's some, that's true. They, mm-hmm. you know, they find their way, and you take David, for example, that reached out for help
mm-hmm.
and basically was booted from two organizations, and, you know, you don't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That there,
there's no big sign telling you down the street.
No big sign, right, telling you where to go. And so you really begin to wonder, you know, and you question your self-esteem and self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Now, a few folks have asked me, they knew I was going to be chatting with you guys today, and maybe you could, you know, provide me with some details on, they'll see a lot of homeless folks who are downtown asking mm-hmm. for money. Mm-hmm. Is that legal? Where does that stand these days?
Well, in the state of Michigan, it is legal.
It
is legal to handle.
Okay.
You know, there's been some effort by the Downtown Development Authority and others to see if they can tighten up on that. But the LCLU, for example, says that's freedom of speech.
It is freedom of speech.
And it's perfectly okay to do. And of course, Cheryl and I would say, you know, don't get yourself in that trap.
Yep.
You know, direct them to an agency or go mm-hmm. buy them a sandwich with them.
Mm-hmm.
You feel that that's the best angle rather than giving the money?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is not uncommon for someone to make $300-$400 a day.
Okay.
It's another form of entrepreneurship.
Yep.
Sure.
So it's, again, a... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, there's nobody who's going to go homeless in Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
We have multiple places throughout the day, many different times of day, where you can access nice hot meals and, you know, thousands of calories a day
mm-hmm.
As far as food as one of your basic needs. We have tight, you know, situation right now with family shelters, mm-hmm. and we don't have enough capacity for that.
Okay.
But we're trying to help them in other ways.
Sure.
But I know for men, it's been quite a long time, Stuart, since you guys have been at capacity and not able to take guys in to shelter.
Yes, right. So we've had capacity right along, but so there's still capacity in Grand Rapids for guys.
So I think the main thing, one of the main takeaways is that there is help if somebody's willing to take that step to ask for help.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
Now, we chatted about it briefly, the profile that was on one of the TV stations about the homeless camps, and I found it, you know, intriguing, kind of surprising to see that going on here in Grand Rapids. How familiar are you guys with that, and what's kind of the backstory on these homeless camps?
Paul, I don't know if I have a backstory. They aren't new.
Okay.
They've been there right along.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, we generally get notification when mm-hmm. the police are going to go in and sweep and clean them out so that there's sufficient capacity within the shelters. So you know, what I find intriguing is this, maybe it was Cookie who had built the house.
And then there was an island, too, which was pretty interesting as well.
So I would not be, particularly as we, as Cheryl referenced, and I tried to chime in, that, you know, we are trying to coordinate service. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to provide more resources for the community. But that also puts people under some scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as I said, some guys just check out when that happens.
Right. I got the impression that some of those folks were there by choice. It was a lifestyle, so to speak.
They clearly said that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, Grand Rapids, you can be on the island. You can come down to my place for dinner. You can go to Mel Trotter for dinner. You can go to God's Kitchen for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You still get free health care at Hardside Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
You can find clothes.
You can find clothes.
Shoes, coats, shoes.
The pantries are open downtown, not asking any questions. There are more computers downtown you can shake a stick at.
Mm-hmm.
So they can still check their Facebook or their Yahoo or their, you know, Gmail or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So
so
they're not that far from the services. And
And they access the services.
And they access the services. And
they might not be staying or living at the shelter, but they're still accessing, in many of those cases, the services.
Okay.
So.